When Peter was warming himself by the fire, he had no anticipation that he was going to be asked the question, "Are you one of his disciples?" Because he had no intention that that was going to happen, he had told Jesus earlier, "I will never deny you." But when the maid asked him, he was flustered, or he slipped, or he didn't have the intestinal fortitude, or he didn't have the ability to actually acknowledge it, and so he said, "I'm not one of his disciples." Not long after that, he was asked again, and he again denied. And then something came up that apparently he wasn't anticipating, and that is, your speech betrays you. And we might wonder, what exactly was it about his speech that betrayed him? A little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." So Peter thought that he could prove to the people that he was around that he wasn't his disciple by his words, but his words ended up making him known, giving him away. And the same situation arose at the fords when the Gileadites were in battle with the Ephraimites. And the Ephraimites were wanting to escape. They were wanting to deceive. And so they were asked the question, "Are you an Ephraimite?" And if he said no, they would ask him a simple question. Say, "Shibboleth." Now, I can say it, so I would get away, even though I'm not of Ephraim. I can say Shibboleth. Can you say it, or do you say Sibboleth? They could not frame their mouth to say that word, and therefore, the way they talk gave them away. We tell people we're Christians, but the way we talk around people, what are we really manifesting? Are we really a Christian in our heart? And that's really the lesson that I want to develop this morning, is what's in our heart is going to come out in our words, whether we like it or not. You can't deceive people. You can deceive people for a while. Peter was able to deceive them, but the more he talked, the more he gave himself away. The same thing was true with these people from Ephraim. And so as we think about these things, do not be rash with your mouth. Let your heart not utter anything hastily before God. We all enjoy talking. We enjoy visiting with our friends and the people we haven't seen for a while. We like to tell stories that are interesting to entertain people and to explain to people what we're about. But what we have to understand is that the more we talk, the more we reveal our heart. Now, that's okay if you have a good heart. If you have a good and honest heart, the more you talk, the more your good and honest heart is going to be seen by people. If you are a humble person, the more you talk, the more your humility is going to come out. But if you're just pretending to be a humble person, the more you talk, the more your real self is going to come out. And so a lot of people, when they first meet, they gain certain reputations among people, but as they get to know each other more and more, the real person comes out, and hopefully, and I think it's been the case in my life with members of the church, the more we get to know each other, the more we respect one another, and the more we see that they really are genuine. But as it goes on to say in verse 3, a fool's voice is known by his many words. So what is the point that the writer is making here when he says in that second verse, do not be rash with your mouth? And I guess this is really the problem. When I'm calm and collected, when everything has been thought out and carefully thought through, what comes out of my mouth is pre-planned and it expresses exactly what I want it to express. If I have problems with my temper, then what I struggle to do is make certain that those things do not come out. But sometimes in a moment of rashness, a moment where we just haven't started thinking yet, we just haven't started. And this is the problem with reputations. You could build up a reputation and then in one rash moment of anger say a bad word or say something that should never have been said. And now the way you talk has given you away. Now, it may have only given away what you were thinking at that very moment, but nobody will know that from then on. They will wonder whether or not that was something that is truly representative of a character or whether it was just a momentary lapse. But God is very concerned that we are careful and that we do not show everybody how foolish we are with our words. So we need to be very careful. Here's what Jesus had to say about this. Every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So you can't keep from giving yourself away. If your thoughts are always on spiritual things, you're going to be speaking about spiritual things. If your thoughts are always on evil things, then you're going to be speaking about evil things. Whatever it is that we think about, that's what we like to talk about. When somebody wants to talk about sports all the time, I know they're interested in sports. If they like to talk about politics, if they like to talk about some particular hobby that they're involved in, then I know that out of the abundance of the heart, their mouth is speaking. But on a much deeper level, Jesus is speaking here about the good treasure and the evil treasure that each one of us is amassing in our hearts. Wisdom is the ability to make the best possible decisions based on the information that we have. So a wicked man is making his wise decisions based on his desire to cheat people or his desire to deceive people or his desire to compromise or do something evil, whereas a good person, all they're thinking about is how can I convert people? How can I manifest a good attitude? How can I help people to become what they need to become? So, what do you have in your heart? Do you have a good treasure in your heart or an evil treasure in your heart? Jesus said, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. Now, I think the point here is pretty simple. The more we treasure up good in our heart, the easier it's going to be for our tongues to make us known in a good way and not in a bad way. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, when you think about it, that makes perfect sense because words are based on the thoughts of our heart. And again, people can try to deceive. People can try to make people think that they are one way but when they're another way. But the more that you talk, the more the truth is going to come out. In Matthew 15, Jesus said, "Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." When Eve first started talking to the serpent, she probably had no clue, because she had no evil in her heart. She probably had no clue of the intentions that the serpent had. But as soon as he said, "You will not surely die," that should have been a big red flag to her that there's something seriously wrong with this conversation and there's something seriously wrong with this person. Whenever someone denies the scripture in any way, that is telling you and me that there is an evil treasure in that person's heart. And that's a very dangerous situation. And we need to recognize that, because now we're dealing with evil companionship, even if it's a brother or sister in Christ. Matter of fact, you remember in the book of Deuteronomy, God said, if your familiar friend, if the wife that you love more than life itself says, "Let's go serve other gods and let's go worship them," you shall not spare, you shall not pity, you shall take that person to the elders and you shall stone them to death. That was God's feeling when someone reveals their heart. You know, you can't commit a sin without revealing it. Now, you can think evil thoughts, but if you're going to act on them, if you're going to commit adultery, if you're going to steal, if you're going to lie, if you're going to try to influence people to do evil, they're going to know right away. And out of the abundance of heart, now verse 18, the things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they reveal our intentions. They reveal who we are, what we are. But I think more critical maybe for you and I is being able to see this in other people. Most of us, I hope, in this congregation, have good treasures in our heart. And we want to do what's right. We have no evil intentions. We have no desire to lead someone into temptation. But we all understand that it starts with the tongue. If you're going to influence someone to do something evil, it's going to start with the tongue. And if they have any sense at all, they're going to see it immediately. They're going to know where the direction of this is going. And they're going to stop it right away. They're going to say something along the lines of, I see what you just said, and don't you ever say that again. Don't you ever talk about those things again. And this line of reasoning isn't going to go any further, and you need to repent. So there's two sides to this. It's not simply what we're saying, but it's also what we're hearing. Because we are being influenced by hearing as well. If we want to change our words, we have to change our heart. If you want to stop being gruff and rude, if you want to stop being impatient and frustrated, if you want to stop those words of anger and irritation and frustration, you can't just, through sheer grit and determination, do it. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, if that's the wisdom that's in my heart, I don't have to struggle with these frustrations because they're going to be removed and they're not going to be something that has to be controlled by sheer grit and determination. In other words, you can't just stop the words. You have to change the heart. As Peter found out, your talk will give you away. If you don't want to be given away, the answer is not, well, don't talk. The answer is change. If Peter had not started that line of reasoning with, I'm not his disciple, he would have never been in a position where he was going to give himself away because he would have been open and honest from the very beginning. And the same thing is true with you and I and the struggles we have with our tongue. We need to realize that those words are coming from the abundance of the heart, and they're telling me something about my heart. They're telling me something about the kind of person I am, and they're showing me the direction I need to go in order to be able to stop doing this. And so it's a simple solution, and it's not easy to accomplish, but at least we need to recognize that you can't just start with controlling the tongue. You have to go into the heart. And so this wisdom that is from above is first pure. So you're not going to hear impure words coming out of this man's mouth because his wisdom is a pure wisdom and a peaceable and a gentle, willing to yield. And that's what filled his heart. When he reviled not again. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, that didn't come from the mouth. That came from the heart. Even under the most extreme situations. And I've asked myself this question. You should too, with your present heart. Could you say that? Would you say that to someone who was doing something terrible to you? Would you have that ability? You know, we talk about road rage. I guess that's maybe the closest thing to this that we have today. Can we feel like that? Can we be forgiving? Can we be peaceable and gentle and willing to yield? It's a heart problem. Road rage is a heart problem. Not the words that come out of our mouth, but the attitude. It's a problem. And it's something that we need to remind one another and we need to help one another with. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another, as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. You know, the way you talk gives yourself away. And the way you talk will tell me whether your heart is full of these things or whether it is not. Whether we, if we have this tender mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, it's going to come out in our mouth. And so when we're struggling with our words, we're struggling with our emotions, we're struggling with our rudeness or with our issues, we need to recognize something. This is not just a tongue problem. This is a serious heart problem. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as Jesus said, these are the things which defile the man. It's not the words coming out of the mouth. It's what's in the heart that is leading to the words coming out of the mouth. That is what defiles. And so whether I have tender mercy or not is going to be determined by listening to my words. Now, you're not always around, but I am. I'm always around to hear what I'm saying. And I'm always around to hear what I'm thinking. And one of the greatest leaps of growth that we're going to be able to make is when we start realizing that these words that are coming out of my mouth are reflecting something in my heart that shouldn't be there. These gruff and rude and angry and bitter and short responses that we make are not reflective of tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. They are not reflective of bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, the peace of God is not ruling in my heart if I'm speaking rude things. At that moment, it's not reigning. And unfortunately, what did that verse said that we read earlier? Let your words be few. Do not be rash with your mouth. Because God is in heaven and you are being watched. God is watching. And not only is he watching, we saw last week, he's recording. You're going to give an account of these words. And so you come before the Lord. And the Lord says, Alan, how did you do with those tender mercies and kindness and humility? Oh, Lord, you know what a wonderful... Well, yeah, but what about these words that you were saying in the car? What about these words you were saying to your wife or to your husband or to your children? What about these things? What is this reflecting about your character that you never quite got those under control? And we need to at least recognize and be repenting. We need to be repenting of these words and confessing these words because they're reflective of a heart that is not right. And we're revealing that our heart is not right to our wife, to our husband, to our children, to our friends, to our loved ones, to our brethren. When we become frustrated and these kinds of words come out, it's not a good reflection of our heart. And it's defiling. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, do I have enough of this tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing and forgiving and mercy that it's coming out in my tongue? Because the way you talk is giving yourself away. And we can talk to people and we can tell people how spiritually mature we are and how godly we are and how much we love the Lord. But like Peter found out, by your words, you make yourself known. And people can see what kind of person you are. And so when you're in public and you're making comments and making statements, you're revealing yourself because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. And so does my tongue and its words, does it do what it did to Peter? Does it make us known? Even though we're trying to portray ourselves in a certain way, those words can do just the opposite. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. And of course, if you think on these things, you're going to be speaking. My mouth will be. Every word that comes out of my mouth will be true, just like God. And it'll be honorable, and it'll be just, and it'll be pure, and it'll be lovely, and it'll be commendable, and it will be excellent, and people will praise it. Well, that's what's in the heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I struggle with some of these things, I look at my mouth and I look at the words that I say, and not everything I say is true. All right, that's a heart problem as well as a tongue problem. And not everything I say is honorable. And there are things that we say that we're glad the brethren didn't hear. There are things that we do sometimes in privacy that we're glad other people didn't see. God saw it. And you saw it. And it was reflective of a very serious spiritual problem. It's symptomatic, brethren. It's symptomatic when we see these things popping out of our mouth, when we see these things that are coming out, and they are reflective, and God's writing them down, and God's recording them, and you're going to have to give an answer for them and explain, why in the world did you say that? And so these are the kinds of things that we need to think about. Then there's a verse, I really like this verse. Matter of fact, I may preach a whole sermon on it at some point in the future. And I just wanted you to see the word is so elastic that the different translations have come up with these different translations. Let your gentleness, your forbearance, your gentle spirit, your reasonableness, let that be your reputation. Now, how do I have a reputation? Well, it's by the words that I use. My words, my speech, the way that I conduct myself out in public, the way that I talk to people, the way that other people hear me, the way that I talk when I'm driving, the way that I talk when I'm frustrated. Am I letting my gentleness and forbearance and gentle spirit and reasonableness, is that the reputation? And you know, it's pretty easy to have that reputation among the brethren because we don't talk to each other very much. And we're pretty controlled here. We don't have a lot of road rage here in the building. We don't have a lot of stresses and strains. So we can all talk in a pretty reasonable way, and we know how to keep those things under control. But when we're alone or when we're with our family, what kind of a reputation? And remember, that's the reputation God sees. He doesn't see the reputation here. Like I say, it's pretty easy to make ourselves look like we want to be seen and perceived while we're here. But, and I think that's why when it comes to the eldership, God says, I want you to go out and I want you to talk to the people who are outside of the church. A good reputation among those who are outside. I want you to go talk to the people he works with. I want you to go talk to his neighbors. I want you to get a sense of what the reputation of this man actually is. Because those are the people who see him. And again, you can't hide your heart when your words are coming out. The words are the fruit. Remember what Jesus said? He said, just as a tree bears a certain fruit, so your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we need to realize that our mouth is like our barometer. It's like our temperature gauge. People can see. God can see. I can talk about how sincere I am, but my words will verify or deny that. So looking at these things, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. You know, somebody can say, I didn't mean that. And you can ask the question, well, then why did you say it? You meant it when you said it. Now, things may have changed, but you meant it when you said it. You wouldn't have said it if you hadn't meant it at that moment, because out of the most people don't lie about what they're feeling. So that's not really a good defense. I didn't mean it. You might say, at that moment, my heart was not right before God, and I uttered things that I never should have uttered, and I've repented of the thoughts, and now I want to repent of the words. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Now, this is a bad person, and I don't believe we have any of those kind of people here. But in a moment of anger, it can happen. In a moment of anger, we can say something. Angry words, let them never from the tongue and bridle slip, because the brightest links of life can be broken. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. I don't remember where I read this, or if I didn't read it, but I just gathered the concept from all the books that I've read and I put this together. But if you say it to me about others, I know you're going to talk about me to them too. So it's just the nature of people, just the way it is. If you're going to tell me something bad that somebody did, then I know that one of these days, under the right circumstance, you're going to say exactly the same thing about me to somebody else. Now, I say exactly the same thing, the same negative kinds of things that you would say about other people. So just keep in mind, That for people who have any wisdom, when you start gossiping, they're starting to pull back. They're saying, you know, you're not the kind of person that I can trust with my personal information. Now, I appreciate the fact that you are passing this information to me, but the way that you're doing it and what I can see is leaving me with a very uncomfortable feeling that you're making yourself known that you're not a reliable person. And we need to recognize that when we're talking, that we need to be careful. Now, as I mentioned last week, elders and preachers and people who are in positions of trust where people confide in them, they have to be very careful what they pass on. And my rule has always been, I do not pass anything on unless the person that I'm talking to, I need their input or I need their help. So I'm going to go talk to them. If I've got to take two or three witnesses with me to go talk to someone about their sin, I'm going to have to explain the situation before you go. If I'm going to be put into a position where I have to make a very difficult decision about bringing something to the men, I may want to find one or two men that I trust and that know these people to say, look, here's what's going on. Now, under those circumstances, when people talk like that, I don't worry too much about it. But when people just casually pass on negative things, if you say it about me, or if you say it to me about other people, then I already know. And you can just mark it down. If you do that once or twice, I'm not going to confide in you. Because you've made yourself known. Now let me back up a bit here, because there isn't anybody here. I made this a little too personal here. There's nobody here that's doing this. So I guess, but I've seen people in the past, and this is just part of it. And we just need to recognize this, that the way we talk is giving us away. And we need to be so careful with some of these things, because it is so easy to fall into this habit. It's important. I know something you don't know, and it's exciting for me to reveal it. And if it's good and uplifting, I have no problem. I'll tell everybody about it. But if it's something negative, then it's, yes, boy, this is a juicy bit of gossip, and you'd really love to hear it, but you're not going to hear it from me, because I don't want to reveal that kind of thing about me. And it isn't there anyway, as we saw earlier. Forbearing and forgiving and compassionate and kind and gentle. These things need to come out of the tongue, and they need to be spoken. And we need to be so very careful about these things. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Well, that's hypocrisy, right? I hate your guts and I'd love to destroy you, but you'll never see it from the way I talk to you. But sooner or later, I'll find a way and I'll bring you down. Well, that is lying. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. So this pretty well winds down our series on the tongue. And it's something that all of us need to understand. We're revealing ourselves to God, to our intimate friends, to our family, and to ourselves. And of course, gradually over time, to our brethren. And so as we wind down this lesson, I want to talk just for a second about this law of kindness. I like this verse. It's a verse that I've used a lot. I talk to young women about it when we go through this particular section, when I'm doing initial discussions about two people that want to get married. I want to talk to them about how to be a good wife. And an excellent wife, he starts with, is far more precious than rubies or jewels. And the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And I really like this law of kindness. I looked up the word law today, and interestingly enough, it's the general word for the law of Moses. It's just the general word. It's used hundreds of times in the Old Testament. It's the law. So there is a law of kindness, which means that I'm bound under the law of kindness, and I'm not going to, it's kind of like Job who said, I made a covenant with my eyes, and I won't look upon a virgin, and I'm going to be very careful. And so this woman has made a covenant with her God. I am not going to say words of frustration and anger and bitterness and irritation. There's going to be a law of kindness. A law of kindness. Now, this woman, as he concludes the section, that her children will rise up to call her blessed, and her husband will say, many daughters are good, but I've got the best one of them all. And part of it has to do with this. And so, what about our tongue? Do we have this law? I think this law of kindness is not just for the worthy woman. I think this law of kindness is for every godly individual. And so, as we conclude our lesson, maybe we all need to go home and give careful thought to our tongue and what we've revealed about our heart. And maybe some of us need to apologize to our spouses or to our children or to our, because what we've said does not really reflect the treasure of our heart. And we're going to do better. And maybe we need to publicly let it be known this morning. If we can help you in any way with this, or if you need to obey the gospel this morning and you'd like to confess your faith in Christ and be baptized in the water of baptism for the remission of your sins, if we can help you in any way, would you please let us know while we together stand and sing.